From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has released a record recently called Love and Rage, and I think, if memory serves, she's joining me from somewhere in New Jersey.
That's right.
It's Carcy Blanton. Hello.
Hello, Eric. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. This is a really, really fun record, as was your last one, and I'm thrilled that you had time to do this with us from a distance.
Thank you. Yes.
Do we get to put the stake in the ground and actually sort of claim you as an Oregon artist because your formative years were spent just up the road in Eugene?
Sure, go ahead. It's complicated, but I did live in Eugene for 4 or 5 years, so yeah, go ahead. I'm local.
As like a teenager, right?
Yeah, I moved out there. I was 16 when I left home, and I went into like a sort of hippie punk rock group house in downtown Eugene, and it was a 3-bedroom house, and there were 9 of us, well, 8 of us and a baby living in the house, and wow. It was really cheap, and it was really fun when I was 16. I don't think it would be that fun now.
Is that also about the same time you released your first record?
Well, it depends how you count. So I made sort of an EP in the living room of that house with my friend Mo.
Wow.
And just printed, like I burned them on my computer and sold them at the Eugene Saturday Market and a few at the Oregon Country Fair. But that was not an official release. So my first official album was a few years later.
Wow. And now here we are, gosh, almost 20 years later.
Don't remind me, but yes.
You said you left home to go to Eugene. Where was home originally? Where are you from?
I grew up in Virginia, central Virginia, pretty rural, on a former dairy farm.
Mm. And last time our paths crossed, you were in New Orleans. You'd actually been there for quite a number of years.
That's right.
What prompted the relocation to Jersey?
Well, you know, I'll put it this way. Everywhere I've ever moved was because I was inspired to live there in some way, and it usually has to do with my creative work. And so I moved back to Jersey to be closer to my band. My band is in Philly and New York, and my family is also in the Philly area. So when the pandemic hit, it was like, all right, who do I want in my pod? I want my band and my brother.
Right on. And were you able to create that circle where you could hang out socially a little bit, work on music?
I was. You know, we really nailed it. Kind of by accident. So our pod was my band, which is me and two guys. And then my brother and his girlfriend. My brother is somebody I'm very close to. And he's also does a lot of political work in Philly, which ended up being a big part of the pandemic. And so that was our pod, and also our friend Milton, who's another singer-songwriter. So we were able to work on music a lot. We were able to have some really fun dinner parties throughout the pandemic, because with that, you know, pod of 6 or 8, we had a lot of really good culinary skills. So we actually had a pretty good time, to be honest.
Cool. All things being what they are.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. We couldn't do gigs. There was obviously a lot of tragedy going around, but it was really good to be so close to the people that I'm really tight with, and that got me through it.
I hear that you have also been working on new music.
Well, so the album Love and Rage is the main thing I was working on through the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
So I had it about half written when the pandemic hit, and then I wrote the rest of it in my little quarantine at my bass player Joe's house. And then we worked on it all last summer.
Wow.
And we did about 3 months of recording remotely, flying tracks around all over the country. And then in the end, we decided to actually drive to LA last September. So me and my band got in my CRV and we packed up a bunch of camping gear and we stayed at KOA's and drove all the way across the country and finished the record LA. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I would love to hear a tune from the record. It's called Love and Rage. Carcy Blanton is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. What are you going to play for us first? What can you tell us about the tune? And then how are you going to play it for us? Obviously, there's no band.
Sure.
It's just you.
It's just me. So the theme of the record is love and rage. And in my mind, there's both kinds of songs on the record. So I'm going to start with a love one. It's a song called Be Good. And I'll just play it for you right here in my studio, just me and my guitar. I think I can pull it off.
Fantastic. This is Carcy Blanton on JPR Live Sessions.
Jesus Christ was a handsome man. He had not
nothing to hide. He said, give bread to the hungry, bring the homeless inside. Jesus Christ was a dangerous man. That's the way that he died, saying, be good to the people you love and love everybody you like. Be good to the people. Be good to the people. Be good to the people you love and love everybody you like. Dr. King was a preacher. He had God on his side. He said, all God's children are brothers. Don't cast your brother aside. Dr. King was a dangerous man. That's the way that he died, saying, be good to the people you love and love everybody you like. Be good to the people. Be good to the people. Be good to the people you love and love everybody you like. There ain't nothing more criminal than kindness. And there ain't nothing more valuable than blindness. And they'll make anyone a martyr who remind us. Everybody got a right to be free. Be good to the people now. Be good to the people you love and love everybody you like. Love everybody you like. Love everybody you like.
That one is called Be Good. Carcy Blanton is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. That's a tune from her new record called Love and Rage. Information can be found on her website, carcyblanton.com. Thanks for sharing.
Of course. Thank you for listening. Yeah, so Be Good. I just want to mention that was one of the ones I did write in the pandemic.
It feels like one of the few songs of yours that is not packed to the gills with sass.
Well, thank you. yeah, you know, that's a good observation. I like that. I think that's been a lot of my brand for sure.
Is it the brand of Carcy Blanton, the musician, or is it Carcy Blanton? Is it you?
It is me. Yeah. I mean, to tell the truth, the brand is also me. I'm the thing. But yeah, and you know, when it's funny because playing live shows, I think, has crafted my songwriting in a certain way where I've been touring since I left home, since I was 16. And so being on a stage and playing for people has really made me want to be entertaining and be funny and be sassy. Like, there are certain things that really work on a stage live. And I think being off the road for 18 months did allow me to explore some other aspects of songwriting. So Be Good was more like, you know, it was such a hard year for everybody. And between the pandemic and all the deaths and the protesting and Black Lives Matter, it was just like a really heavy psychic load. And I found myself wanting to write songs that would sort of leaven it for people and give people a little bit of like something positive to focus on. So Be Good for me was like kind of the master thesis of the album, where it's like, okay, everything's really hard and here's what to do about it. You know, be Christ-like, I should say. I should mention that I'm a Jew and an agnostic, but that song is about being Christ-like, which to me just means being kind in a selfless way. So being really willing to see what's going on around you and be good to people.
Don't be a schmuck.
Don't be a schmuck. Exactly.
I'm glad you brought up the stage presence thing, because one of the things that is most compelling about your live performances is your stage presence. It's commanding.
Well, thank you.
Is that something that you have just naturally developed over time as you, or were there people that you saw performing that made you go, oh, wow, there's more to this than just playing music. I've got to find that spot in the front of the stage and own it.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's been a bunch of shows over my life where I feel like I've drawn something from that performer. But I also want to mention the thing that kind of got me on the path of really crafting my stage show was actually my first manager, whose name was Bill Ibe. And he started working with me when I was about 20, which is when I moved to Philly. And he was kind of an old school kind of manager that you don't see much anymore, which is what they call an artist development person. So he would go to all my shows and give me feedback on each show. And he also encouraged me to write down my banter, which is something I used to do at every show. Which sounds, I think, can sound kind of crazy or like, but it's supposed to be off the cuff and spontaneous. But for me, at least, crafting ways to introduce the songs has sort of become part of the song. Like, I think of it like setting up a joke and then getting to the punchline. So the song is the punchline. So when I do a stage show, I try to set up every song and then let the song be the punchline. And it makes it a lot, it feels more impactful and people can have like a deeper experience of the songs that way. So that is something that I got from my manager, Bill. And then the other thing I'll say is just that I used to dance, so I saw a lot of dance bands, and I really like the dance band approach of like, we're here to entertain. We got to keep the people moving. You know, it's like, it's not about us. It's about you guys having an experience. And I also really love kind of old school vaudeville performers. Like Mae West is one of my big inspirations, although she wasn't really a musician. And so, yeah, those
she
are some.
She commanded the stage. Though,
she sure commanded the stage. She also was really great at quippy one-liners. And she was like this hot lady. So she was like kind of doing it all. She's like, I'm a hot lady on the stage. And also I'm smarter than you. And I'm going to prove it right now with this little quip. So I find that really inspiring. Dolly Parton, kind of the same thing. Mae West and Dolly Parton to me are in the same lineage.
I think there was also a semblance of, I may also shoot you if you cross me.
Yep. Yep, that's right. And I try to adopt all that.
I was going to say, I hear that in what you do as well.
It's all true. It's all true, Eric.
Carcy Blanton is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Love and Rage. She's joining me from New Jersey today. Will you play us another tune?
Sure. So I played you one of the love songs. I'm going to play you one of the rage songs. This one is called Party at the End of the World. And I always
we know this one well.
Oh, good. And I thank you for playing it. And I like to mention before I play it that I did write this before the pandemic. So this was sort of
prophetic. Wow.
Prophetic. Well, also, you know, Trump was president. It still felt like the world was ending. It's felt that way for a while. So here's that one, Party at the End of the World.
It's Carcy Blanton on JPR Live Sessions.
It's hard to tell, but here's a story. We're going out in a blaze of glory. It's too late now to fix this mess. So honey, put on that party dress. Let's go to the party at the end of the world. We'll dance with a beautiful girl. It's our last chance. Party at the end of the world. There's a party at the end. Kiss. toast to all the things we'll miss. Snow and winter, rain and summer, banging drums and banging drummers. Oh, there's a party at the end of the world. Let's go to the party at the end of the world. We'll dance with a beautiful girl. It's our last chance. Party at the end of the world. There's a party at the end. Bang a drum and sing around and pass around. We're going down. Bang a drum and sing around and pass around. We're going down. Bang a drum and sing around and pass around. We're going down.
Party at the end of the world. Carcy Blanton joins me today on JPR Live Sessions. That one comes from her new record called Love and Rage. You can find information at carcyblanton.com. Are you generally a positive person? I mean, this has been the year for it. This has been the year when it's needed. But is that your general personality, is to be positive and upbeat about things? Or do you try to look at the snarkiness within all of the current events?
That's a tough one. I feel like I make a point to project positivity and especially humor. Humor, one thing I love about humor is that it contains both. So it's like you have to be honest to be funny. It's not funny to be lying. So you have to be honest about what's going on, which includes a lot of darkness a lot of the time. But then what's so great about humor is you're sort of flipping it and making light of it and allowing people to laugh about the horrible things in the world. So I think that's one of my main tricks as a songwriter, and also a thing I try to do with, you know, whenever I'm out in public doing anything really. But personally, it's up and down for me. And, you know, this year certainly is an example of that. I have a lot of darkness in me, and I think I just try to process it and get it at least to a place of humor before I start sharing it with people.
One of the things that I wrote down prior to chatting with you today was that it seems like you revel and celebrate in the absurdity.
Mm, absolutely. Thank you
songs.
For noticing.
Yeah, I mean, turning the wackiness of everyday life into something that can be enjoyed by others, which is a good talent.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I just had my first gig in 18 months, and so I've been on the stage recently, and just I've been reminded of kind of what the point is of live shows to me. And the point of live shows, there's obviously a lot of reasons people go to live music, but for me it's about having a collective experience of certain emotions. So there, like right now, I feel like there's a lot of collective grief, and grief is hard to process on your own, really. Like, it almost has to be processed in a group and in a ceremony. And so I feel like when I do a show, I want to give people a space to feel their grief, which includes not just crying, but also laughing. Like, to me, those are two sides of the same coin. That's the way we experience things. So I'm trying to bring people a place to cry and a place to laugh.
Yeah. You mentioned your first gig. So I know throughout this whole pandemic, you've been doing some live streams.
Yes.
Live streams, for the most part, are more like a festival set.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're on, you're off. It's relatively brief. But doing an actual gig, how were your chops? How did your voice hold up? Like, are you in shape for that? Or are you going to find yourself needing to build up when the tours start to come back again?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's yes and no, because we've only done one stream a month, but they've been like between 2 and 6 hours long. So we've been doing these marathon live streams. The first couple were five or six hours long, and then we did another one, like the New Year's Eve one, was 6 hours long. It was like, stay up till midnight with us.
Wow.
So I'm in shape in terms of putting on a long show, but I'm not in shape for having anything happening around me while I'm playing. Like, the main thing I noticed, it was like an outdoor show with kids and you know, there's people running around and eating picnics and stuff. And I had a really hard time focusing. Like, I lost where I was Squirrel. In the song a couple times. Yeah, exactly. Because I was just like, what is this little girl saying? And then I was like, oh, crap, I forgot how to play the song. So I think that's the main thing I need to remember how to do, is like allow there to be people around me having their own lives and not let that throw me off, and even like integrate that into the show a little bit. Like one of the great things about live shows is that the audience can do something and then you can respond. And I think I have to remember how to do that now.
You've put out a number of records now. This one, among other reviews and articles written about it, landed on the desk of Ken Tucker at Fresh Air, who gets thousands and thousands of albums that he could potentially pick to review and put out in front of a national audience.
Yeah.
What was the response like for you of that?
Gosh, it's so hard to tell. It's been, you know, it's been a wild year for me from the sort of career perspective. Like, all our shows got canceled. We found ourselves being like, all right, I guess we have a bunch of time off the road. How are we going to make money, right? And so the first thing we did was this rent party, which ended up going really great. And so that was a big, incredible stroke of luck that I had a fan base that wanted to support me and the band through this pandemic. And then the next crazy, crazy thing that happened is when John Prine passed away, which I was greatly saddened by, as I think a lot of us were. I never knew him, but I just loved his songs. And I wrote him a tribute song, and then 5 million people watched this tribute song, which was that's the number one craziest thing that's ever happened. Wow. From a, you know, sharing my music perspective. And then after that, we made this record, and this record has had a really great press response. So all of that stuff feels very unreal right now because I'm not playing shows. So to answer your question, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the difference is. I know I have like more people on Facebook looking at my stuff, but I think it's not going to feel real until I'm playing in a theater and people have bought tickets to be there and see me. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to like understanding what it means and what my new fan base is and stuff like that. But it's really, it's a crazy time to get new fans because it's all fake. It's all on the internet. It doesn't translate into real people yet.
Tell me how Patreon has helped this last year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been incredible. So I'm independent, meaning I've never had a record label. I also have just been a very DIY artist. Like, I've been doing it for 15 or 20 years, depending how you count. And I've done all parts of the music business I have done on my own at various times. I now have a great manager and a booking agent and even like an assistant and stuff, which is crazy, but I still don't have a record label. So one of the things that has meant is I've had to figure out how to get enough money to run a music career because it's a very expensive thing to do. So Patreon, I actually signed up on like 7 or 8 years ago. Kind of as soon as it existed, I was like, I need this. I need people to be able to, you know, support me on a sustainable monthly basis, not just for a Kickstarter or whatever. Because it's always been, for me, like, the only reason I can have a career is because I have fans that want the music. That's the only thing. Like, the industry has been very slow to appreciate the music I'm making, which is fine, because I think, you know, having a direct-to-fan process has ended up being really great. So I've been on Patreon a long time, and when the pandemic hit, my Patreon support doubled, basically. Nice. And I think it's because so many people were like, oh no, the music I like might not exist anymore. So I think a lot of people got Patreon accounts and just went and supported all their favorite artists, which was such a beautiful thing. It was definitely one of the silver linings of the pandemic to see how people wanted to support me and other artists.
It's a very similar funding model to public radio.
Exactly.
So we know it quite well, and we're grateful for everyone that contributes a few bucks each month to allow us to do what we do here.
Yep. Yeah, the public support model, I think, is actually a pretty great one.
Could I make a suggestion for something to put on your to-do list?
Sure.
Come out and see us.
Okay.
Love that. Carcy Blanton is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Love and Rage. CarcyBlanton.com is her website. Will you play another tune for us?
Sure. So I did a love one, I did a rage one, and this to me is a love and rage song. So I wrote this during the BLM protest last summer. Philly had a crazy time, as a lot of cities did. There were many, many people in the streets. And there was this one protest on June 1st of last year where a lot of the people I knew, including my brother, were tear gassed and arrested, and it was a big drama, and it was very scary. And I went home and finished this song. Mama, it's a disaster, going faster and faster, and all of my heroes turning out to be bastards. Ain't no peace to be found in this company town, 'cause the house will keep winning till we burn the house down. So while my friends in the streets tonight, we go singing. All my friends who are down and out, we're gonna fight for all our friends in the up above, with all our rage and all our love, adding fuel to the fire down in the streets tonight. Well, they call it a riot, 'cause we ain't keeping quiet. But if you've been listening, we know you don't buy it. And they say we've been stealing, but who's the real villain when we can't even make a living and out there making a killing? So while my friends in the streets tonight, we go singing. All my friends who are down and out, we're gonna fight for all our friends in the up above, with all our rage and all our love, adding fuel to the fire down in the streets tonight. Well, they can lock us up and they can knock us down, but we're the ones who run this town. We're gonna shout it out until we make them face. We're the ones who own this place. They can lock us up and they can knock us down. We're the ones who run this town. We're gonna shout it out until we make them face. We're the ones who own this place. So while my friends in the streets tonight, we go singing. All my friends who are down and out, we're gonna fight for all our friends in the up above, with all our rage and all our love, adding fuel to the fire down in the streets tonight. Down in the streets tonight. Down in the streets tonight.
Down in the streets. Carcy Blanton is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Love and Rage. You can find information online at carcyblanton.com. Carcy, thanks for doing this. It's good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me, and I do hope to visit you in person. Won't be long now.